Yeah, he moved there.
Well, that was the scenario. And so I was in Paris for 2 weeks and I really disliked Paris in the beginning. And I think we were only together for like a year. And Josephine had lived in Paris for a year and studied there. And so I think it was always her dream to move to Paris.
Right.
And so at a certain point, I needed to write a story about Paris and I came up with the idea, like, I would only move to Paris and she would never ask me to move to Paris, but I would move to Paris if that was like the last Strohhal?
The last possible option.
Like that, I would have done this for her. And so I wrote the story, and then a lot of what happens, but it's complete fiction, but it's very realistic fiction, I think, in the sense that it embodies us both. Right. Because I've had friends came up to me and say, like, oh my God, I read the story, I'm so happy you guys are still together. Like, what the hell? I'm like, yeah, but Matthias, you know me for like 25 years, you know, I didn't move to Paris. And he's like, yeah, now that you mention it, you didn't throw out a go-away party. And I'm like, no. I'm like, so you didn't say you were a ping-pong champion to her colleagues? No, I didn't. Oh, I thought that was funny. So you.
How does it feel to read a story about Paris now, after what happened?
I didn't see that coming.
You must have seen it coming.
No, not at all. Damn it. I don't know, I wrote about it in the prologue today.
Yeah,
it concerns us all.
Maybe many people haven't read that yet. What did you write about it?
Well, the situation we're in now is very similar to the situation people were yesterday. And I think I wrote a sentence like, everybody wants to celebrate the end of the week, and some people didn't even make it to the weekend.
Yeah.
And for me, that was confronting because it's the first... I know, maybe not first time, but it really comes really close to whatever I'm doing in my life at any given moment of free past time.
Like going to a show.
Going to a restaurant, going to the
yeah.
to the stadium to see a soccer game, going to a concert, and, well, I have a couple of friends, and I was saying this to someone else today, like, Eagles of Death Metal is one of their favorite bands, and, like, if we would have all lived in Paris... then they would have definitely been there. They went to see them on the show in Brussels recently, in the AB, and so they would have definitely been there if we would have all been Parisien. And so it's crazy that it's this close, but on the other hand, I think the piece I wrote was a little bit apathic. It's very difficult to grasp. And you can tell yesterday, the news came in and I was standing in the backstage, like smoking a cigarette in between the concert halls. And it was actually like Lord Huron, one of the bands that played yesterday. He was completely freaking out because they had just toured with Eagles of Death Metal, like for a couple of shows. And he was talking about it. I'm like, oh my God, I hope they're okay. And they were still...
are they okay? I haven't heard anything.
I think they're still okay, yeah. But they were taken hostage at that point. Nobody could get out. So that was what the BBC was saying, like the live stream, that they were still taken hostage. And you could see they were all stressing out. And then I asked what was happening. He explained it to me. But then it's very weird because life goes on in a certain way. And then I just came from seeing Jonathan Jeremiah. I was really on a cloud because I really liked the concert and felt like a little girl being like dazzled by this attractive British young man. I'm not gay, by the way. And then something really, really bad happens, and then afterwards you go and drink, and we go to the after party in the Schlemmer, and we all dance. And I think the column was a bit about that the fact that we can't go on, we must go on, or something.
Yeah. Jenny and Sonia, you've been staying in Amsterdam at the Vitalis house?